grateful we're able to be here together this morning. You know, there are a lot of places in the world where this is not that easily done. And I'm very grateful that we can gather here this morning without any fear. Thank the Lord for the freedoms that we have, that we can speak freely about our Lord. I'm very grateful. And I hope and pray that continues. So I look out over here this morning and I see Brother Larry and J-Mac. We had many prayers that we prayed for you here a while back when you were having that heart issue, and it's so good to see you able to be healthy and young. And Cad, I'm so glad to have you with us here this morning. Sister Anna Mae Thompson's, you're the youngest son? Youngest son of Sister Anna Mae Thompson. And when she passed away, at some point, I think he told your mother that you was going to be there every time the door was open there at Bowley. And here he is, being faithful. I'm very grateful for that. I hope we all have it within our hearts to do whatever it takes to make heaven our home this morning. Whatever it takes. Reminds me of a song that my mother sang. I don't know how long it was before she went home, but she was singing that song, and I think my sister, one of them from the background, she was singing it, and she recorded part of my mother singing, "Whatever it takes to draw closer." It challenges me because she didn't know that meant her life. But I want to sing the same song with the same meaning in my heart, that whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'll be willing today to do. Houses, lands, whatever, Lord. We want God to be first. Prestige? You know, sometimes we're willing to give the depths of our pocket. But how about being humbled? Sometimes that's a price to pay. Give me Jesus alone. You know, also yesterday morning, you can turn in your Bibles to Titus, second chapter. Yesterday morning, I got a text that got a second cousin up there that he's definitely younger than I am, quite a bit, and he had always just been vibrant and able to do things. And they said he woke up yesterday morning and he had a heart attack and he's gone. And in a very short amount of time, that makes me realize how uncertain life is. And I don't say that just to shock us or to make us somehow be afraid, but we should be aware. And it should cause us to be urgent enough about our own souls to be ready. It should. And that's a decision that each one of us are going to have to make. But it's right for us to check ourselves daily and say, "Lord, is there anything here?" It's just right for us to be honest, hungry seekers of His way. So I have something on our heart this morning we'd like to approach. Had different verses that I thought maybe I'd like to maybe title it off of, and finally I kind of boiled it down. We're talking about morality, and I thought about writing that up there. Maybe you could write it on your mind. Morality. I don't know whether it's written just like that in the Scripture, but it's talked about in the Scripture. Morality, and I thought about that and thought, morality, I was talking to an atheist one time and he said, "You don't have to have God to be moral." Well, on one level, he's correct. I think a person who doesn't believe in God can still, there's something God has placed in every person that we have a basis, we kind of know what's right and what's wrong. And
I think God has given enough grace to people. He has graced people with that ability to see and recognize and choose, even if they don't believe in God. They can surely choose evil. And if they can choose evil, we can also choose right. But the foundation and the fountainhead of morality comes from God Himself. Just because I decide, either culturally or from my raising, my background, or the people I associate with, just because I have a sense of something that is right or something that is wrong, doesn't necessarily mean that's right according to the Lord. I think we ought to recognize that. I think we ought to recognize sometimes that in my humanity, I might excuse something God never meant to excuse. So in the process of living my life, I can remember places when in my young walk with the Lord, I gave the Lord all I knew how to give Him. And I was sincere. And I was honest in seeking the Lord and wanting to obey Him. I gave Him all my heart. All I knew how to give Him. But as I walked with Him and the progressive light, and I use the word progressive light, I don't want to, light is always pure and true, but sometimes the Lord only shines light at this particular place in my life. And then as I grow in Him and walk with Him, He will shine light on someplace else in my life. Do you understand what I'm saying here? We grow in Him. And we become more established in understanding. And as He shines that light, there's some things that I had no conscience against. There were some homemade words that I had. You ever heard of poodlywood? Didn't think so because I made it up. But it was a filler word that I just used. And there's nothing evil again about it. I don't. Didn't mean it when I made it up, but I used it to describe something that really hurt bad. I got hit in my head and knocked the poodly-woo out of it, you know. Okay, so you see, I used it in a way that probably, at that point when I said it, I had no feeling that it was wrong. And the Lord began to talk with me and said, you know, that's really, there's something or some elements in that. There's probably, it's not really talking about my holy way in your life. Again, I'm not talking, understand what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Lord wanting to take something in our heart. He wants to be a living word in our life. He wants to be very personal, very interactive, and very, I'm going to use the word again, progressive in our life. I want to use this word saying He wants us to progress in Him. And He will take our raw material, all that we know how to give Him. And God wants us, when we come to Him, He wants us to give Him our all. And just know that when He takes all that you have, He'll take that and begin to shape us into His image. Because the raw material we give Him isn't completely in His image. It is all we know how. But then He teaches His children lovingly, kindly, gently, firmly, and sometimes very correctively. Sometimes that loving firmness is pretty pointed. Because I've had that. Maybe you're not as hard-headed as what I've been. But I've had some times the Lord had to really get a hold of me and embarrass me and really confront me to the point that I was willing to acknowledge that wasn't, in fact, that was ugly. That wasn't like my Lord. And the Lord was able then, once we acknowledge and see the light shines on our pathway, once we acknowledge and see that, then we can bring that to the Lord and see, Lord, this is an area or this is a place that really needs to be changed. So morality, again, is what I think of. Morality can be affected by culture. If you went to India today, there are certain ways of dress down there that we feel very uncomfortable about. We just do. And they have no, I'm talking about saints, people who are following the Lord. They have no sense that it's wrong. And then I look at the scripture and I say, how can I tell them that that mode of dressing in that culture is wrong? Is there scripture that's clearly against it? Well, there is scripture that talks about modest apparel. We should always be careful when we say, where is the Lord in this? We should always be careful because I know there's something over here. The devil will be whispering in this ear and he'll set an unbalanced view of modesty. He'll get us to the point we'll swing clear over here into immodesty. And then he loves to jump shoulders and get over to this other side. I'm going to use an example. I loved my mother. She was a godly woman. She did the best she knew how. If you got Bobby socks on in here today, I want to tell you, my mother would have felt kind of bad at you. My sister's over there and she can nod her head and say, that's true. Sometimes when we get very specific about some of these things, we have to recognize that it wasn't necessarily the thing, but it was the spirit that drove the thing. There was something that went along back in the 60s, maybe the 50s. When was Bobby Sox came in? It was around the 50s, wasn't it? I think it was the 50s. And the term Bobby, I mean, the whole thing, and what happened, that was something that was connected to some of the culture of that day, and actually were some of the rebellious part of the culture. They were wanting to change the culture that brought in these elements, these symbols that was a turning away from a carefulness of life and was a symbol of almost rebellion, something that turned away from good stability, sometimes moral stability. And because of that, this was one of the things. My mother, it got to being mentioned behind the pulpit, which was wrong. I think it was okay to say, saints, be careful about this thing that's casting your vote. You know, by doing this, you're saying, I want to be more like this. And the scripture, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for the love of... I agree with that, and I agree, be careful, saints. Let's don't express ourselves like the world does. But I could get hung up in the 50s. And without knowing it, I think my mother did a little bit. You know, there's a principle of godliness the Lord wants us to apply on every culture, every era we live in. Today, there's a righteousness that doesn't feed pride. There's things that don't feed carnal spirits rising up within me and causing anger. And an imbalance in my spirit. Folks, the Lord wants to balance us. I can be so focused on something out here until I get imbalanced. Or I can get so rebelling against, the saints taught that and it was wrong, and I can feel offense and I can run back over here. That's imbalanced. Both sides are imbalanced, folks. Oh, I want today to lift up Jesus. There's something better than the doctrines of men, than the commandments of men. There's the reality of Christ. And I want us, through a time that we're living in even now, it seems like every era, whether it was the Bobby Sox in the 50s or the mini skirts of the 60s and the maxi skirts of the 60s and the way they presented themselves. There was a time I heard about mustaches and mutton chop sideburns. all those things got to Roman sandals. I've heard all that back in the 60s. Yeah, we've outlived all of it now. I don't see anybody, hardly anybody around here deciding that let's have mutton chop sideburns on men. But Christ is still the same. He calls us to holiness, folks. He calls us to righteous living before Him. He calls us to be anchored in Him till our morality comes from His very Spirit within our heart. His Holy Spirit constantly cleaning and pushing aside the things that would come and try to attach itself to my spirit. That I believe just as surely as you know, Jesus gave the parable about the sower that went out to sow, and he had good seed that he sowed, and some landed in good ground and some didn't land in good ground, and some grew well and produced well, and others just faded away and died away. Just as surely as that happens with the good seed, it also happens with the evil seed. It depends on the condition of my heart. The devil is always here to scatter his doubts and confusion and his seed in our hearts. And if we provide it a well-receiving heart, if I have this something that is growing within me and I'm rancorous in my spirit and somehow I'm seeking something other than God and His righteousness, and my heart is looking for, I feel bound up over here, so I'm gonna run out here to the freedom. And sometimes the devil can cause bondage over here on this side, and he'll also cause bondage when we run out there. And the devil will scatter his seed in our heart and get us to feel uncomfortable and feel like I'm not even at home around God's people anymore. I start, this question mark goes in my mind and ideas, and I begin seeking something else. And the devil will be very good at providing something else. I won't be able to preach it clear enough or tight enough or straight enough or strict enough to protect you from either side. But there is a place. The Lord said it one time. He said, there is a place by me. There is a place that we can get real close to the Lord. And His arms around our shoulders. And we hear His whisper in our ear. And His Holy Spirit begins to influence me in a greater and a deeper way. And He begins to fashion me. Shine His light upon my pathway and begins to fashion me more into His image and begins to cut off attitudes that are wrong. Folks, I want to tell you, I believe attitudes are worse than mutton chop sideburns. I really do. I'm not saying that we were wrong in pointing out things that we needed to be careful. I think it's entirely proper, in fact. That's part of the reason why every once in a while I mention this phone. You notice I have one. But I'm going to tell you, be careful how it's used. Be careful what spirit you give your heart to. And what morality comes from God. The true morality. And it will be applied rightly in the culture, the time I live in today, and it will also be applied in India or Afghanistan or any other place that we live. It'll be the same in Mexico as it is in Canada, in the northern part of the United States to the southern part, or the eastern part of the United States is just as well as it is out there in California where Brother Michael's living. And it's a little culture shock, I think, when it came from the central part of the United States and went out there to California. It's different. But holiness is the same. God help us to apply His moral law in our heart. I have talked for quite a while already without reading the scripture. I think I want to start over here in Titus, the second chapter. Perhaps I'm going to start here at the ninth verse. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their masters, their own masters. Wow. Wonder what he meant by servants. What'd you say? Back in this culture, what were the saints? What was the word? The word of God came in that culture. It came right there. You know what they did? They had slaves. It's repugnant to us today, and should be. So do you think that along the path of their walking with the Lord, do you think that the Word of God began to work with them? At this point, this verse began telling the servant, you're a child of God, now you act like a child of God. As a servant, you act like a child of God. Wow. Culturally, that's kind of hard for us almost to receive today. That if I said to somebody here that found yourself in a place of servitude and told you, you treat your master right, you'd almost shrink and say, Brother Ivan, I'm being ill-treated. And you might be exactly right with what you said. But it's also exactly right that the Lord calls us to holiness in whatever state we find ourselves in. Lord, help us. It's not easy to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. When somebody mistreats us, when somebody says ill about us, you know, it's the easiest thing for us to pick up with. You know, David, he went through, went by a brook, and he picked up five smooth stones. And every one of those stones was intended for armament against the foe. But if the devil would love for us to walk down through that same brook, this time of humility where we could, and he'd say, that stone would be good to throw at your brother. And we would begin to pick up the stone of bitterness. Begin to pick up the stone of being willing, of backbiting. How about that one? Hurt feelings. Let's pick up that stone. That looks good. Feels good right now to carry that. And I'm hurt. And I walk away with that in my hand. I'm carrying it. And pretty soon we get a whole pocket full and of this weight that does so easily beset us. And I can't run the race with freedom in my legs, because I'm carried by the weight of all these other things. Is that possible? Or am I saying something that nobody relates to today? If this message is for nobody else but me, I say, yeah, I understand it. Because it's real easy to give myself over to an attitude that's not Christ-like. And that's one of the seeds that shouldn't find a good place in my heart to grow. That's one that needs to be plucked up. Identified as soon as possible. When we plant wheat in the fall, it comes up and looks pretty green. I love seeing a good green pasture, a good green wheat field, and watching it grow. You ever heard of something called cheat? Have you ever heard that term? Tares, perhaps, in the scripture. When it is that tall, it's almost impossible to tell the difference between the cheat plant and the wheat plant. And I've got a fairly trained eye. And I'll guarantee you, you won't see the difference. It's hard for me. I'm using that as an example of saying there are some things that will seem so right. And it's hard for you to recognize. It feels so right. I've got all these good reasons to do this. And it's growing right along with all this other good things in my heart, and it looks almost like the real. We need the Lord to reveal to us. We need the Lord. Sometimes it's just a matter of honestly stopping and getting alone with the Lord and praying and say, Lord, I don't know how to direct my steps. There's something working in here that I can't really even identify, but the freedom of my soul before you has changed somewhere. And I want back the communion that we had before. Lord, show me where it is. And He's faithful and just. He is. But this is part of the process of laying aside that weight that does so easily beset us. And let us run. There's a whole segment of theology out there that likes to say that you just get saved, and once you're saved, you just, you know, we're all practicing sinners, and so once you get saved, the Lord just keeps us until the end. Be careful, because the Lord, you read examples in the Scripture clear from the beginning, where God held people responsible for their actions, Adam and Eve. He held them responsible for their actions. And throughout history, clear down to the end, I think in Revelation, where He said that we would be judged according to the works, to the things as deeds, the things we did. So there is something that we have responsibility before the Lord, our actions. It's not that just God saves us and then lets us go ahead and do whatever we want to. We can live like any old common sinner out there, because that's not what God wants. The reason why He doesn't want us is not just because He wants to be mean toward us and tries to throttle our fun in life. That's not what He's doing. You know, there are some people who have a perverted idea of fun, and they think that I can go out and get drunk on Friday nights and Saturday nights, and somehow I'm having fun. But it has never produced good in their life. So this is why the Lord in His love tells us there's some things you shouldn't. Morality comes down, and the fruit of morality, the fruit of the law of God, and that's another verse we hope to get to if I can do it more quickly here and more concise, but the law of the Lord is pure. What's it doing? It's providing good things. This is the reason why the Lord gives us His counsel, because He doesn't want families to be broken up because of alcoholism or anything else, any other form of sin. Anything else that does damage is the reason why He comes lovingly, not as a tyrant, but as a father, saying, son, don't do that. It'll hurt you and those around you. That attitude, you're growing in your garden right now. You may have good reason. You feel like the manly virtue that you have. You have a right to be angry. You have a right to feel this rancor going on. Be careful, son, because that thing will not only eat you up, it'll eat up all your future and hurt people around you. Make it where you come to church and can't get along with people in church. You see what I'm saying? These things, there's a reason why God lovingly corrects His children. And I hope every one of us identifies that I'm a child of God this day. And if you're a child whom the Lord loves, He corrects. He chastens. Not out of mean-spiritedness, but out of love and protection for His family. So, let's read some more scripture. Exhorting servants to be obedient unto their masters and to please them well in all things. Not answering again. You know what? To me that sounds like not arguing. Oh my. Look back on my brother and myself as we were at home. And my mother, I heard her with the exasperated tone in her voice say, y'all would argue over anything. And Herschel and I think did. Sometimes did it just for fun.
Just to explore other thought, I guess. I don't know. But my mother wasn't very... She didn't think that was a good thing, and probably it wasn't so good. But I believe that we can sometimes argue to the point. Let me temper this just a little bit. I believe the Lord should have us, He would have us examine things, honestly examine things. Be careful, though, Lord, we don't become argumentative. Answering not again, you see. Be careful. It's okay to ask a question. Be careful how you do. Considering yourselves, considering them too. Be treating my brother as I would want to be treated. Also learn how to approach those things in a mature way. Not feeling like I'm morally challenged if somebody asks me a question about why'd you think, how you think that way, why. It's okay. Sometimes I have people ask me some of those questions and I had to say, well, I don't know. Don't know why that's so important to me. I have to think about that. And sometimes the Lord has simply tempered me and said, that's not exactly the way I hold that for you. Is that possible? Or maybe I've had Him say, child, you need to move up. There's something there you're not holding quite right. This is the balancing. I'll give an allusion to a verse in an Old Testament. Remember, there's a verse that talks about that He was set in Zion there, not just a tried stone, but he mentioned also about a, remember there'd be a plumb line? You remember that visual example that was given? You know what a plumb line always does? It always stands true. It's balanced. It's there. That's our measuring. That's our set point. I don't know how else to say it. That is the point. I think it's Jesus that hangs here in front of us. I think it is the Word of God. And Jesus is the Word of God. It is Him that we measure to. And I don't want you measuring by me. And I don't want to measure by you. We may both have valuable input to bring to the table, but when it's all said and done, I must measure to what the Lord, thus saith the Word of God. It's what I must measure to. He has counsel on every part of the morality of our life. He has counsel for every part of that. The standards that get developed in my heart, the things I accept and the things I reject. All this needs to be founded on my relationship and my knowing of my Lord. My relationship with Him. Hearing and understanding His voice. And it doesn't need to be real. Oh, we don't need to feel the pressure of the moment. We just need to walk with Him. And the Lord will lead us step by step. All right, let's go on a little farther here. Not answering again, not arguing about the point, not purloining. This talking again to the servants. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. All this has meaning. I'll let you think it through. That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things that they do. That we may be an example of godliness, of righteousness in everything we do. I put that everything we do, but He said in all things. I think that includes everything, what we do. The way I express myself. I use that term, that word that I made up, and there's different things that I used to accept, and the Lord has simply, in His kindness, began to cut some of those things. I've changed. And I really hope that every one of us can look back over the path that we've walked and look back and say, I've changed. And I hope we can really say it from our heart that I've changed into more righteousness, into godliness. Because if we change the other way, we need to really adjust. We need to repent. We need to turn back to the way of Christ. Adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And it comes with a lesson. It comes teaching us that denying things that are not like God, denying things that I find in my own spirit, and that as I walk with Him, as I find places that need to be changed into His image, when I see those things, my responsibility now is to deny that, to turn it loose, to change it. Some of those things will come instantaneously, and some will come incrementally. But never reject the voice of the Lord. Never reject His dealing with our souls. Because when His light comes, I don't think any of us would be a sympathizer of that wicked woman, that Jezebel, remember her? I don't think any of us would sympathize. I think we would say, that wicked woman. You know what also Jesus said, because He's the one that was dictating that letter. Jesus said, I gave her space to repent. So in our walk with the Lord, in our humanity sometimes, I'm affected with these things that I deal with. Maybe anger began to rise up and I give it some space. And then pretty soon the Lord says, child, I already talked with you about that. Lay it aside. You know what the Lord is doing? He's giving us space to turn. And God knows when to say it's enough. There comes a point when we disregard the counsel of the Lord to the place that it crosses over into open rebellion. There's different. There's a big difference between the Lord dealing with us and feeding us and teaching us and us rejecting His counsel. One causes separation from the Lord. The other doesn't. You understand the difference? One causes moral separation from God Himself. Judgment comes down. It's just like sometimes in raising of my children, I've given them counsel, I've given them direction, told them what to do. And in their ignorance or inability, sometimes they simply didn't get accomplished what I told them to do. And I would come back and recognize, well, maybe I realized that maybe the child wasn't capable of what I was trying, or maybe they just simply didn't understand. And so as a father, I would begin to try to talk with them and teach them and strengthen them and bring them to the place that they could do what I wanted them to do. They didn't do what I wanted them to do, but they weren't able to or they didn't understand. And that's a very different situation. I'm teaching and I'm bringing them to a place of understanding and growth and a place that they could do what I wanted them to do. But then if I came over there after they had the ability and I came and said, why didn't you do it? And they said, I didn't want to. Very different, isn't it? That's the way the Lord deals with you and I. There have been times that I realized that I didn't please my Lord. And you know what I did? It broke my heart. And I wept and said, Lord, I'm sorry. And I felt the arms of my Lord around my shoulders, and He held me on His lap and cuddled me and taught me and helped me to grow in Him. But the moments, those times when we make that conscious decision that I'm not going to do it, I'm rebellious, I'm going to eat of that tree. I heard some other voices in my head saying that it'll make me wiser like God. I can, and I choose simply to rebel what God has clearly told me to do. That causes sin. that causes separation. And there's a difference between growing in the Lord and rebelling against Him and going back. And I think it's important for us to understand that, because I think that the devil can get an advantage over us if we're not understanding that. There are other I'm not going to go through all of that. Anyway, we're confronted with all kinds of definitions of sin out there in the world. I'm sorry. I've gotten way too tedious. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, right now. Whether we be in India, or whether we be in America, whether I be from California, whether I be from Mexico, whether I be from any other place in the world. The grace of God comes and begins to teach us to deny ourselves, to turn from worldly lusts, and live carefully, balanced, soberly. You see, soberly has an element of balance in it. You show me somebody who's not sober, and I'm going to show you somebody who's not very balanced. Soberly, righteously, and godly, right where we are in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all these things that harm people, all this iniquity, all this stuff that brings guilt and shame and causes a man to do things he shouldn't do, gives addled mind where he doesn't think clearly and makes decisions out of the addled, either drug-addled mind or alcohol-addled mind or just carnally addled mind. All of these things. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a people dedicated to Him. It says a peculiar people. Don't interpret that in your mind as being odd or strange people. But this, what do you mean? Purify unto Himself a people that's dedicated wholly to Him. I'm the Lord's. I'm peculiar. I'm not dividing my love. I'm not giving some to the world and some to the Lord. No, I'm the Lord's. You know what sanctification meant in some cases when we find in the scripture the term sanctification? You know what it meant? You know when they sanctified vessels unto the temple service? You know what that was? It was wholly dedicated for that one purpose. That's what the Lord wants right here. He wants us to be wholly dedicated. He wants us to be sanctified and meet for the Master's use. He wants us to be undivided in my love for Him. Peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Oh, time has gotten away and I really shouldn't go on more. I'm going to quote some. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. In our minds, our inabilities sometimes to understand, oh, get a hold of the law of the Lord and just follow it. Even though we don't understand it all right now, follow it. Just do what the Lord says. He'll make wise the simple. All the confusion of my mind, in time He'll wash it to the place of stability. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, bringing light and understanding to the eyes, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. Nothing wrong with it. Doesn't bring guilt or troubles in your life. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. This is Psalms, the 19th chapter. I'm reading in. More to be desired are they than gold, more than fine gold, sweeter than also than honey and the honeycomb.
Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. By all this that you have brought to me, Lord, the times when you whispered in my ear, the times when I read your scripture and it came alive to my soul, the counsel that I found there, the times when you sat beside me and began to teach me your ways. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults, these things that I don't see well, Lord. Father, you put your hand against it. Keep me in the way. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, that then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. If you'll help me, Lord, in these small things in my life, these weights that do so easily beset us, keep me, Lord, from all that. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. You'll keep me from that failure. Let the words of my mouth and the things that I think of, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Oh, I'm not going to go on over into 1 John. The first chapter, but I was going to read some there too. I think the Lord has helped us get at least part of the thought across. Folks, let's walk with Him. Let's seek His face. And expect as you're walking with Him to put His finger on places that we need to change. I pity you today if you feel like you've already arrived to such a level of perfection that you won't need any changing. I really do. I pity you. I'm sorry. Because there's not anybody in here that the Lord doesn't want to change. I'm one of the people in here. Lord wants to change us. Pray for me. I want to serve Him. And let's pray for one another. And let's encourage one another. Seek the Lord with all of our hearts. Pray for me. I want to serve the Lord.